Welcome to the Sailor Noob Podcast, where a super fan and a noob talk about the original Sailor Moon episode by episode. I'm your host, Mikan Hana, joined by my co-host.
I'm the co-host and the noob. My name is Caliban, and someone call the sax man, because I've got the vax, man.
That's right, and we're a couple of magical people ready to moon crystal power make up this episode. Sailor Noob is brought to you by a competition that I intend to win.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm going to win.
Yeah?
My fight against COVID.
Yeah, you are.
I got the vax.
You did.
Number two.
Today.
Well, that's a lot of information. But yeah, I got it today.
Uh-huh. Yes. Congratulations.
Just in time for my friend's wedding. Although they tell you on your way out that you're not, like, it's good to go for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Until 2 weeks after.
Right. So, fully
armed. Wish I'd known that before we planned all this wedding stuff. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're recording, and you get a sense of, like, how you're doing, how your body is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's a storm on the horizon.
Oh, boy.
I feel good now, but I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
I stepped on it.
Do, 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 do.
Okay, you made it better.
So let's see how we do.
We'll hopefully,
as we record the show,
we'll make it through before the storm. So, today we are talking about episode number 71. Yujo no tame, amito beruche geki totsu, in Japanese, for friendship. Ami versus Berthier, the English translation, and the English title, Checkmate.
Checkmate. Pretty good.
Checkmate.
Chess wars.
Yeah, right.
Chess wars. And that was all in the service of telling people to get it. Our listeners are smart.
Right.
But if you're, like, holding out for some reason, you're like, nah, it's okay. I live in an igloo. I don't need it. Yeah, just get it, though.
Just get it.
Yeah, they're giving them away
at
this point. Like, they're just everywhere. So you can pick them up off the ground. But before we get started, there's a couple things that I want to mention or talk about real fast. And one of those is I was made aware, or I guess just, like, you know, hipped to the existence of sailor ships recently. I mean, obviously, I guess if I stopped to think about it, of course they exist.
Of course.
But I just never, I don't know what it is. I'm not wired that way. I don't, like, think about things that way. I don't ship a lot of characters.
I don't really either,
but,
honestly.
So. Yeah, but I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. I can see where people are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with some of the weirdest, like, pairings you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. That is true.
But there's a pairing that I think I saw some Tumblr art or something like that. It's the Mako Ami pairing, and I was like, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a popular one?
That is a popular
one. Oh, okay. Well, then that's why I saw it.
Yeah. That's a very popular one. And I have a theory as to why it may have started, but it would be a spoiler, so I'm not going to share.
Oh, interesting.
Well, something that'll happen.
Okay.
That you don't know about yet.
All right. Well, then I guess I should bring that up later on some future show.
You'll know.
You'll know when it happens. Okay. All right. I would ship Motoki and Tensi, I think, probably. Yeah.
That's two characters who have never met before. Sure. Okay. Why not?
Ready for that spark.
I know that Rei and Minako are really popular too, and also Usagi and Minako, if we're talking about the inner Senshi.
Uh-huh.
So, like,
that's that thing that, like, on Seinfeld where Jerry has the girlfriend that people say looks like him, and he's like, I can't do myself.
Right.
I mean, not to, like, I like both those characters, but there's a lot of similarities in those characters.
I think that's where that comes from.
That would be very, very vain and self-absorbed of both of them too. To date somebody who's just could be confused for them from behind.
Although I could
tapping
see
on
them.
The shoulder. Sorry, Mina.
I could see, like, maybe Usagi, like, dressing like Minako to try to get out of things. Like, I'm not Usagi. You have me confused with somebody else.
Do you see
I don't
bun?
Have a
These
test.
Buns?
Yeah. I don't have a test today. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And licorice whip instead of a Love Me Chain. Yeah.
Which she would hopefully not eat. So, yeah. All right. Well, Cal, would you like to give a synopsis of this episode?
I will, but I'd have to stop before I do that and talk about the tasty new opening that we see in this episode.
Why didn't I think
about
that?
There's a brand new OP in this episode that every time one comes out, it's exciting, but it's also like, well, I'm going to be handed some ingredients here to make a stew. Mm. And the stew is the spoiler stew. What is coming up?
Yes.
But I have to say that this is pretty abstruse, right? There's a lot of things that are just like, oh, okay.
Abstruse, like obtuse? Like...
No, obtuse means wide. It means saying, like, obtuse is a wide angle, but it also means... It means being not apprehending things. Like, I'm just being obtuse. I'm not understanding what you're saying, you know.
Well, I'm being
obtuse
right now.
Obstruse means something odd. Yeah, right, exactly. I'm being obtuse. You're being obtuse.
Yeah.
We got that worked out. But in this new opening sequence, we see a couple different things.
Yes.
It opens on Crystal City. I'm going to assume it's Crystal Tokyo. There's a neat thing where there's a moon, crescent moon, but the moon becomes a ribbon. And then it becomes R.
Yes.
So still Sailor Moon R.
Yes.
And immediately, as the song begins, clocks, clocks, clocks. We got dolly clocks.
Yep. Yeah.
And pendulums, too.
Yes.
The part of a grandfather clock that goes back
swings.
And forth. Yeah, that swings. Mm-hmm. And then we see three people. We don't know who they are.
Mm.
It's a dude, a lady with green hair, and a guy that looks suspiciously like Mamoru. And I noticed that it doesn't linger on his face. So you can't hide anything from me, OP, or co-host, who's doing her best poker face right now. So I don't know, is this Prince Demando? We know that Prince Demando, presumably male, so maybe this guy's Prince Demando. No idea who the green-haired lady is.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to find out. Then we see what looks like a new sailor. She has dark green hair, and she's dressed in a blue and white fuku, and she's got a stick. And completely absent or apart from what I've learned on this program, I know that Sailor Pluto has time powers. So maybe this is Sailor Pluto. I looked for her symbol, but turns out Pluto doesn't really have an alchemical symbol because Pluto didn't exist when the alchemists of the medieval times were making symbols and stuff like that,
sure.
Right? Then we discovered it later.
Right.
So technically Pluto's symbol for like, you know, new age heads who are trying to backfill is just like a stylized PL for Percival Lowell, the guy who...
That makes sense.
Kind of why astronomy's like crap, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like the whole point is like, so you're going to name this magical thing after the scientist who discovered this planet.
Huh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Because I was
this Impossible Burger is made from beef. Try it.
Because I know
this is beef milk.
I've seen a symbol that represents Pluto before. So I was trying to figure out what we were talking about.
Let's talk about symbols. Because in the OP, we see a coin or a talisman, some kind of like a disc-like thing that has alchemical symbols or what looks like alchemical symbols on it. And truth be told, it's probably just, details. The artist is like, let's make it look magic-y.
Sure.
And I spent way too much time trying to figure out what the symbols were.
Oh, yeah?
I did not succeed.
Any luck? Oh, okay.
To me, it looked like hermetic text.
What do you mean? I don't understand what that means.
Hermes Trismegistus is the god of magic. And so people who...
Like Hermes? The messenger god?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
An aspect of him.
Okay.
And so, like, mystics from the Middle Ages created, like, this, you know, alphabet based on the Greek alphabet. And make up a lot of magical symbols in the sort of Hermetic tradition. Also, sometimes in the Kabbalah as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. You know a lot of stuff.
And it's all. It's anyway. Hey, if you believe in that stuff, good.
Mm.
Good for you. Tell me all about it. But it seems like a lot of guys jerking off. So what else? And that's pretty much it.
So you don't know who this sailor is that we see, this new sailor.
We just know, I mean, she's got a fuku on and headdress and jewels and all that stuff and earrings.
I guess I just assumed that even though you hadn't met them yet, you knew who all the outer senshi were and what they look like. But not, I guess not.
Really? No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I'm gathering nice. Information.
Double back. And that way it seems like you don't know what's going on. So nice work. This is where you're like, wait a minute, his footprints are going backwards. I don't understand. Never find this guy. Anyway, so that's pretty much it.
Yeah. What do you think of the new opening?
It's cool. It's weird because there is a style that the show has. And I think we've noticed that the style of the show, the animation, has altered a little bit. I don't feel like it's heading in any particular direction, but some episodes it looks one way, some episodes it looks a little more cartoony. And I don't know if it's sure. just who's up this week, you know, who's drawing or whatever.
Maybe.
But I did notice that it was a little more stylized. A lot of the lines were kind of looser, and it wasn't the kind of cartoonish, but fairly realistic depictions that we get of our characters.
Sure.
Like the clouds at the beginning are all like, oh, they're all hatched, you know, shaded clouds. And it was sort of stylized. And I thought it was interesting. It just, like I said, it wasn't, you know, we didn't get that in the Aiel and Anne arc or anything like that.
No, we didn't get a special opening with Aiel and Anne at all.
Well, why would you? Sorry, kids.
I feel kind of bad for Aiel and Anne. I think they get a bad...
See we've our talked Aiel about and Anne that. Episodes yeah. for yeah. that. But yeah, I think it's weird that... I don't know why they picked this episode specifically, but it...
I agree with
hopefully
you.
Hopefully is a signpost, you know, saying we're moving on to the next part here.
It's kind of interesting because I feel like if they were going to do that, then they would have done it with the episode before. But it's like, okay, now you know that we're heading somewhere else, that the bad guys...
Exactly.
Something's happening.
Exactly.
Then you can see where we're headed. But yeah, I don't know why this episode either.
They know what they're doing.
They do.
They know what they're doing.
It's like, we're giving you spoilers, but we don't want to give them to you too soon.
I'll never doubt the show again.
Yeah.
Until I do.
Anyways, how about that synopsis now?
Okay, fine. We open on Usagi's face. It's in consternation. And Ami is looking like, well, how it always looks. Just kind of generally satisfied. Ami says, check, and we realize they're playing chess, and Usagi has just lost. Makoto and Chibi both clap for Ami's victory, and Usagi holds up a chess guide and says, oh, I even studied. First time she's ever said that.
I know.
You're really good at chess. And Ami says that chess is the perfect game of the intellect. It requires perfected calm and accuracy.
Uh-huh.
Chibi takes this chance to have her line in this episode and to point out that calm and accuracy are two things Usagi will never have. And Usagi says, you are not cute.
Yes.
Which is something she's been trying to get off the ground last couple episodes. Makoto says, aren't you the junior chess champion of Japan? But Ami demurs and says, oh, it was just luck. Usagi says,
yeah.
Okay, everyone, we're all going to learn chess from Ami as Luna looks on. This is kind of like training. I guess.
Maybe I guess. They're going
to learn patience and, sure. and accuracy.
Strategy, maybe?
Yeah. Mako says, yeah, maybe not so much. Being calm isn't really my thing. And Usagi says, yeah, you're even worse at being calm than I am. Which I guess I can get behind. And Luna says, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Which, first of all, shut up, Luna. Second, I immediately thought, is that a saying in their culture? Because I knew that Japan could do better than that as far as proverbs went.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough,
ooh.
I went looking.
Yeah.
And I found their version of that saying.
And?
It's Mekso Hanakso Owado, which means eye scum laughing at nose scum, or eye boogers laughing at nose boogers.
What?
You came through, Japan!
Wow.
That's so descriptive.
It's so intense and gross.
Yes. Oh and it has gosh. Something to do with pots and it's kettles and tea set or something. It's like, what are you talking about? It's like, no, these boogers are like, oh, you got boogers. It's like, yeah, you're a booger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Every time. I want to get a book of Japanese proverbs, but Mamoru, I think, is reading it right now. Chibi says, hey, Usagi, let's play a game. And Usagi says, yeah, okay, bring it on. And about a minute later, Chibi has defeated Usagi. Mako says, well, I got a split. And Ami says, yes, I have to go as well. And Usagi asks if she's going to cram school, but Ami says she's headed to Chess Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Is this code or something?
Not that I know of. Yeah.
In the rainbow room in the UFO, we see the now three Ayakashi sisters watching Koan working as a makeup saleswoman mm-hmm. on their mirror screen.
Yeah.
And they're all like, ugh, pathetic. She's a regular woman now. She means nothing to us. But Berthier has some questions. She can't figure out why Koan would want that. Rubea says, our clan has no need for traitors. And Berthier is still kind of watching Koan, but Rubeus smashes the mirror with his mind, I think.
I think so.
And that's that.
Yeah.
He says, we'll worry about that one later. But here's our new crystal point, a place called Chess Tower. Berthier says, I'll handle this one, and she takes off. But Calaveras and Pets think, well, we'll just come in at the end. We'll just get all the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Rubeus thinks, I'll get all the glory eventually. You girls are merely my pawns who protect the king. Me.
Yeah.
Castle, en passant, chess-based intrigue.
Yes, yes, I know. He's talking in chess speak, exactly.
At Chess Tower, Usagi and Mako Enemy are admiring the chess piece-shaped building. Mako says it looks like a cake. Because someone has got to be the dumb one this episode. But Ami says it's shaped like a rook. Or a castle, says Usagi. Ami says, the guy that owns the building is a big fan of chess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
They're having an opening ceremony tournament next Sunday, and I'm joining. And Usagi says, you're totally going to win. But Ami says, oh, I just like to play. Winning isn't an issue. Reminds me of like Garth from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
He does that drum solo. He's like. And the guy's like, you're awesome. And he's like, I like to play. Remember that?
I don't know if I remember. It's been a long time since I've seen Wayne World.
Well, you were born, but. But a voice says, winning is the only issue. It's a waste of time if you don't intend to win. No? And we pan over to Berthier, who is in disguise, I think, or she thinks.
Yeah,
in a
right.
checkerboard dress. She looks like Harley Quinn in a wedding. Usagi says, even if you lose, you did your best. Then who cares? Berthier says, that's the sour grapes rationalization of a loser. Which, hard to argue. But she's a bad guy, so don't agree with her.
Right, right.
She goes on to say, oh, I guess your friendly fun time games of chess are just child's play. The girls are getting mad, but she says, oh, excuse me, I'll play your little game some other time. And she walks off into the chess tower. Usagi and Mako are pissed, but Ami has a determined look on her face. Inside Chess Tower, as Ami is signing up for the tournament, she runs into Old Chessman.
Yes.
No name given.
No name.
I think we're supposed to assume that he owns the chess tower.
Yes.
He says, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. You're entering the tournament, aren't you? Let's play a game. And they play chess. It's going to be a lot of the tension is building. A new challenger. They play chess.
It's a lot of play chess, yes.
Old chess guy is a friend of Ami's grandfather. He asks, is something wrong? Because she used to play to forget her loneliness. Wow.
That's a lot of information.
Now she seems different. She says she made some wonderful friends. Oh, okay, good. Okay, yeah. He says, that's great. Good friends are the world's greatest treasure. Except owning a chess piece-shaped building, of course.
Of course.
Ami puts him in check, woo-ha, and he says, can I rethink that move? And just then, Ami sees a certain stripper version of a Disney character move furtively in the hallway behind him. She says, say, the reception desk closed at 6, right? And he says, yeah, we should be the only ones here. And she excuses herself under the pretense of looking around the tower, but really, she's going to track down Berthier.
Mm-hmm.
Said Berthier has found an empty room and says, so this is the center of the crystal point. And she casts dark water and starts freezing the place down. But Ami says, hold up a minute. Berthier thinks, oh, it's that nice girl. You're very brave, nice girl. But you can't stop me alone. Besides, I hate goody-two-shoes like you. Go to hell!
It's so intense.
Mercurial.
I know.
Like water. And she blasts her to the ground. It looks bad, but Ami says, Mercury star power, make up! And transforms into Sailor Mercury. And the show wants you to know that Berthier sees this because every 3 seconds they cut back to her face watching Ami. She's like Dave in 2001 going through the monolith.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the transformation is just going across her face.
Once she's transformed, Berthier says, oh, you're Sailor Mercury. Yeah. Master Rubeus will like this. But Mercury hits her with a shine aqua illusion that does something. I don't know. It reverses with the ice and what Berthier is doing.
Yeah, right.
Berthier is about to counterattack, but she gets a sparkling wide pressure through the hand as sailors Jupiter and Moon arrive. Berthier says, 3-on-1 is no fair. I hate violence. I'm mad. I'm out of here. And the girls ask if Ami is all right, but she says, she knows who I am. I transformed right in front of her. It's a dumb move for a comic hero.
It is.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be a problem, but the show doesn't make much of a deal out of it for the rest of the episode.
Not really.
And anyway, she's got no family to threaten. So Mako says if she's after Chess Tower, she'll be back. And Usagi says, we'll worry about that one later. Back in the Rainbow Room, Berthier is nursing her hand, and Pets and Calavera show up and are like, oh, you hurt? Oh, it's bleeding. Oh, did you fail? Oh, that's bad news. Wow, I bet you're embarrassed. But Berthier is like, no, I've got it under control. And Calavera says, oh, that's good, because, you know, one ninny like Cohen is enough. Ha, 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 ha. And Berthier is like, yeah.
I know.
But really, she's like, later, we see Berthier in her chess dress as dark clouds gather outside of Chess Tower. Chess was in that quite a bit. And she says, okay, Ami, that is Sailor Mercury, let's play your favorite game. Chess. If it was something else, it would have been like kind of awkward. Let's play your favorite game, Battleship. I mean, in chess.
Let's play your favorite game, Candyland.
Yeah, she walks into the tower and up to the registration desk. She says, I'd like to enter the tournament. And the girl at the desk says, okay, what's your name? And Berthier says, I didn't plan on this. Whammy! She puts the whammy on the girl, who says, this way, please. So what does the girl write down? What does it say on the scorecard?
She hypnotized her or something.
Our next match, Ami Mizuno versus, I don't know.
Or she made the girl like write her name or something.
What's the Japanese version of Jane Doe? When somebody gets murdered on the show, then you'll know.
Yeah.
You can tell us all about it.
Whoa.
That's not a monster. It's not real murder. The chess tournament is on, and it's visually interesting. There's a lot of people in attendance, both as competitors and as spectators.
Yes.
This might not be technologically possible for the 90s, but I think maybe there might be remote players. Like, we see like 30... We know that at least 30 players are competing because we see them on the big screen.
Yeah.
Or 28, 32, some multiple of that.
Yes,
And they may all be there at Chess Tower, but the old man did say it was a worldwide tourney, so maybe like people are coming remote from CCTV or something like that. I don't know, and it doesn't really matter. All the girls are there, and Koan is there as well. Mm-hmm. I did not think that we were going to see her again.
Yeah. But
here she is hanging out with the girls.
Yep.
One by one, Ami is defeating her opponents. Usagi says, we got to cheer her on. Go, Ami. Go, go, Ami.
I know.
And everybody is ashamed. The old guy is there, and he's like, oh, you're Ami's loud, wonderful friends. Minako says, do you think Ami can win? And he says, her rival is the problem. On the screen, we see Berthier, and she's beating everybody she plays. And Koan immediately recognizes Berthier, and I'm totally confused now. I don't know how anything works.
I
don't know how who can tell who's who, and I guess they hung out, and she saw her in both human guys and in her stripper Elsa outfit. I don't know. Anyway, but she knows immediately who it is. So then, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to secret identities even work.
Well, she knows her sister, right?
I guess, but she's in her Harley Quinn chess disguise, so it
doesn't matter. It doesn't work on the Ayakashi sisters, I guess. I don't know.
It's not a comic book. It's just an anime, so it's okay. All right. Anyway, she thinks, what's she doing in the tournament? As the girls watch, Ami and Berthier beat all of their opponents, and I'm saying this takes like 25 seconds tops.
Yeah.
They're playing like speed chess.
Yeah,
like
right.
Warp speed chess. They finally get down to the final two, Ami and Berthier, and they meet in an empty room to play. I guess this is where the cameras come in.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to watch it on a big screen. I'm guessing, just thematically, it's probably the same room that Berthier said was the center of power of the Crystal Point.
Probably, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
They shake hands to start the match, and Ami notices how cold her opponent's hand is. Berthier says, let's use these pieces for the final game. And she dumps out some chess pieces that are inset with jewels.
Uh-huh.
And Ami's like, sure. Let's do that. Bring your own I whittled these myself. They start playing, and it's clear that Berthier is good. It's a brutal game. It looks bad for Ami, but she takes Berthier's queen and reverses her fortunes. Now, she's on top. She puts Berthier in check, woo-ha, but Berthier is getting frustrated. She says that the real match has just begun. Sailor Mercury!
Yeah.
And she conveniently zaps the camera with an ice blast. The old man says, oh, there must be technical difficulties. But yeah. The girls tell him, we'll check this out. And they run off, and Koan watches them go anxiously. They all transform into Sailor Scouts. They bust into the match room. Sailor Moon says, you're 1,050,000 years ahead of yourself if you think you can challenge on me at chess. If you're not streets ahead, you're streets behind.
Yeah,
what
right.
What are you talking about?
And she just, you can never beat a me, I think is essentially what she's trying to say.
I looked up, there are like 64 trillion different like chess games that you can play.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought maybe that's what she was talking about, but...
They why just, would Usagi know million that? And but yeah, 500, I don't know.
Because of the book. She got the book.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
If this was, I love this show, but if it was a little more like on the ball, she would just be quoting weird chess facts like throughout the
That would have been great, actually. I kind of would have appreciated that.
I'll take her place. I'll do that instead.
Okay.
As we talk about chess in the future. I'm sorry, Berthier, you know her secret identity, so we'll have to kill you. No, she didn't say that, but no. That's what's going to happen. Berthier says, you dummies, and she traps them in an ice ball, dummies.
Yeah.
She says, Mercury, I challenge you to a match for your friends' lives. Ami agrees, and Berthier says, I'll give myself an advantage. Oh, we're just going to start. Always get the rules before you agree.
I know.
And I guess they're just playing like a position or like a scenario here because they take the pieces that are already there and she sort of like rearranges them on the board. So she's got some advantage in a new position.
Mm-hmm.
Ami moves a piece and Berthier takes it and Ami's legs freeze. And Berthier says, if you give up, I'll let just you live. But Ami plays on. Berthier takes another piece and Ami's arms freeze. Mm-hmm. This ice is crawling up her body. And Ray says, screw it. She casts Burning Mandala inside the ice sphere. But the mandalas end up bouncing around the sphere and all the girls are like, ah! They have to like take cover on the floor of the sphere. Berthier puts Ami in check, and says, stop pretending like everything is okay. It's stupid to put your life on the line for strangers. Project much?
Yeah, well, yes.
Ami says, they're not strangers, they're my friends. Even if I die, I'll protect my friends. Berthier says, stop stalling. But just then, Calaveras and Pets appear and say, okay, great work, everyone. We'll take it over from here. Another victory for the three Ayakashi sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Berthier is about to move another piece, maybe the last piece, but it's knocked out of her hand by a red rose. She touched it, though. She has to move it still. These are these chess facts.
Yeah, right.
Tuxedo Mask says, check, and the piece crumbles. I don't know if he knows how to play chess, but... He's helping out.
Yeah.
The bubble holding the scouts also disappears, and the ice falls away from Mercury. And TM says, if you don't understand how a pawn feels, you don't deserve to handle a queen. Sadabada.
Yes.
That's solid.
I know.
Yeah, that's he's back
pretty,
on track.
He's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
He literally Maybe just he showed does up
know
for
about
that.
Chess.
But yeah, right? He did help, though. So, yeah.
Yes, and his remark made sense. Berthier turns to her sisters for help, but they say, wow, that looks like an error on your part, sis. Be sure to kill yourself and the sailors in a gesture of auto de fe. We're out of here.
Uh-huh.
Berthier seems dejected, but she giggles and says, see, even my own blood can't be trusted. Friendship is ass. You look so sad. Laugh. Laugh. Dark water. I'll kill us all.
Yeah.
We're born alone. We die alone. Love is useless. And she conjures up an icy wind and begins to freeze bottom up like Ami did. This really looks kind of just dangerous to her, but I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
Just then, Koan appears and she says, stop, dear sister. But Berthier says, so, you're here to laugh at me too. But Koan tries to reach her even though the wind is blowing her back and icicles are cutting at her. She says, you're not alone. But Berthier says, a traitor like you can't understand. She freezes more. Koan says, I understand how forlorn you are. She's been thinking this over in her head, I think, maybe. She's got the speech all ready to go. Just then, a huge piece of ice hits her in the face.
I know.
But she keeps coming. Koan's still up. She says, humans have the capacity for deep love. Just before Berthier is completely covered in ice, the winds stop, the ice fades. And Berthier says, will I also be able to see that love? Koan runs to her and they embrace, crying tears of joy. Hit her with the MPH, Usagi! Berthier is cleansed, and she has pants now!
Yeah,
and a smart blazer!
I know.
and a tube top, though. Some things, they just can't be cleansed. Later at Usagi's house, Koan and Bertie are playing chess as Luna, Usagi, and Ami look on. Koan is in trouble and says, can you take back that move, sis? But Bertie says, we may be sisters, but there's no timeouts. Just then, an extra chess piece falls from her hand. And she's like, what? It looks like they're going to get in a fight, but it's all in fun. Heart iris in to credits. The end.
What? Was it in her hand or was it in her top? Because I feel like it fell out of her cleavage.
It was hard. It did not fall out of her cleavage.
Okay.
She had it in the crook of her elbow, but it's easier to say hand. And so
okay.
I said hand.
Okay.
Although that would have been... That would have been a Bertier move all the way.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was thinking.
How does having an extra piece help you? And that's not, it's not cards. Do you know what I mean? Like what? You have to sleight of hand it onto the board. She has a tube top. No sleeves.
Yeah.
Nothing up my sleeve. No sleeves.
That makes me wonder if the writers of the episode are not super familiar with chess themselves.
Well, we can talk about why that might be in a little bit.
Yes, we will definitely will.
Is it weird that these women are hanging out with these junior hires?
I don't know how old the Ayakashi sisters are. You seem to think that they're way older.
Well, they're aliens, are probably hundreds of years old. But Koan is the youngest, and she's old enough to work in a cosmetics store.
So she could be like 16.
She could be.
Yeah.
But probably not, because of all the other things we've talked about, they're more forward-facing sexuality and sophistication.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've agreed that they're adults.
I guess, but they could still be, like, young adults.
I know 16 is an adult in Japan. I know.
Yeah, but they could still be, like, in their 20s or something
like that. Yeah, no, okay. I don't, yeah, they're not. Their pets isn't like, oh, I gotta get home to watch Matlock. Let's hurry up and kill these chicks.
Just trying to imagine that. Oh, that's hilarious. I
have a jeweled walker.
I don't. Back home. I don't. I mean, maybe a little bit. Is it weirder that like they were enemies and like now that you're cleansed now, we forgive you and now we're all friends.
It's fine. It's fun that they're friends.
It is fun.
I don't got a problem with it. But you know, they spend so much time with people of their own age group.
Yes.
And we've talked before about the kind of the wistfulness, the reluctance, you know, of not wanting to grow up that I think exists in this. You know, Usagi is literally screaming, this is it. This is youth.
Yes.
This is the way it is.
Right.
And yet wanting to be an adult, but not wanting your childhood to end. And let's just throw all that away by having a couple drunk 25-year-olds come over. You know what I mean? Like it's... They're kind of, it's a female space, but it's also a kid space. Kid space. Where kids can hang out and do whatever.
I understand what you're saying.
So it's a little strange. But if they, and I don't know where we're going to go in the future with this, probably not really anywhere. But like if they end up becoming kind of mentors to them, you know, or like give them makeup tips or something. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I just like, it seems... Like, it totally makes sense to just add them to the ever-growing gaggle of girls, but they aren't girls, and they're not...
I see what you're saying. So it's an important distinction.
I'm happy to have them stay on the show, but I'd like to see, like, a defined role for them outside of just, we're here to pull the next one in. No, yeah. Calaveras, we love you!
Yeah, right. Well, what did you, like, I'm a little annoyed that, like... So I couldn't remember if, like, once they got cleansed, if they had their memories or not. Clearly they do.
Yeah.
But why doesn't Koan say anything to the Senshi? Like, oh, hey, crap, that's my sister.
Don't kill my sister.
Don't kill my sister, or that's my sister. She's up to something shady. Be on your guard, but don't kill her. Or something, or like, I know, like, Minako tells her to stay there, but like, just because Koan is good now doesn't mean that she has to be, like, incredibly obedient.
Well, let's be honest. These chicks never really got that much done, right? Like, it doesn't, like, they really. It'd be one thing if it was pets in this position, but it's the youngest. She's all, I don't know, maybe she's. She went from being obsessed with her looks to, you know, what? What does she fill that with?
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, she's, you know, Bertier's, maybe she's not here on business. Maybe she just wanted to join a chess tournament. She's clearly skilled in chess.
Right, yeah,
so maybe
definitely.
She's just enjoying herself and she didn't want to wreck that for her, for her sister, for her strange sister.
I guess I could see that. I feel like it would be nice if their powers were cleansed along with their, I mean, I guess they're a normal human woman now, whatever that means.
That sounds like something an alien would say.
Yeah.
Of course, well, they are technically aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I am a normal human woman. I love makeup. Do you have a tampon?
Oh my God, please stop.
When is Oprah on?
Oh my God. Did you get the latest Goop product?
I enjoy rubbing the goop on myself. So yeah, that's that. Stripper no more.
Oh, stripper be gone. Stripper Elsa.
They're like, well, are you going to get a job now? She's like, I'm a stripper.
Oh, stop it. I don't, come on. I do kind of wish they'd done more with Mercury transforming in front of Berthier, because it's a very superhero type thing. I'm glad that we got that in this episode, but I wish that had been like a bigger deal. Like it was a big deal, not even for like half of the episode.
Well, she's like the least offense oriented of the Senshi.
That's true.
So there's not, you know, okay, great, you're Sailor Mercury. Please don't defend yourself against me. Like, there's not... Where do you go from there? This isn't the thing where Clark Kent is like, hey, you leave her alone. And then the guy, like, punches Clark Kent through a wall. And he's like, ha, that's what you get. And then Clark Kent, like, gets up and his shirt's ripped and it's a big S underneath. And it's like, oh, crap, I'm going to die now.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just Sailor Mercury.
I guess. I do like that at least.
Who knew that Berthier was a smart one?
Well, I think she plays dumb, you know.
Oh, she absolutely does.
And she also, another thing I like.
Although we find out in this episode that it's her demeanor is assumed, you know, it's repression.
Yeah, I do like that she comes off as being, she'll sweetly tell you horrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But inside she's, you know, she's a little cream puff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like that. But I also like that she, unlike Koan, we see her asking to be cleansed or redeemed or at least giving her permission or approval to do so.
Do we?
Yes, she asks if she can have a chance to, you know, feel that love that humans are able to.
Sure.
And
call 1-976.
Oh, stop it. And that's when Koan like embraces her and then
she doesn't know that Usagi's going to hit her with magic.
Well, but they look at each other and
she wants what you
and Berthier
want.
Yeah. Gives a nod. Right.
Yeah.
She doesn't verbalize it.
And they kneel down and they pray.
And
she accepts Usagi into her heart.
Yes. Great.
Right.
The one and true savior, our goddess Usagi.
We're all in trouble.
Oh my goodness.
We're in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Anyways. So, Caliban, you finally show your face. Just in time for me to blow it off.
It's fitting you chose to hide in this abandoned movie theater, Mika and Hana, because for you, the show's over.
Big talk, but soon you'll be as dead as all the well-loved celebrities we lost this year.
When I'm done, they'll be cleaning you off the walls like COVID-19!
Wait, where's your face mask?
I thought we were gonna fight outside.
Oh, come on!
I mean, if the murder hornets aren't out there still.
Take this!
You want to watch HBO Max on my phone?
I'll start cooking some beans in this old boot. Just Enough Trope. News, reviews, and apocalyptic views every Monday on the Just Enough Trope Network.
Won't the 5G kill us?
Shh! For for Kyoro Kyoro Miro or Curiously Looking Around, where we talk about what elements of Japanese culture within the episode. Today we are going to be talking about chess and shogi, which is sometimes called Japanese chess in Japan.
Japanese chess.
Mm-hmm.
This is chess, where the pieces are the rising sun and the other pieces are buns.
Sure. Nikuman?
Nikuman.
Yeah, yeah, right, sure, exactly.
Or perhaps not.
What do you mean?
I'm on flu medicine, I don't know.
we'll get to it. There are symbols on it, on the pieces, though, for shogi. So, but it is difficult to find out a lot of information about the history of chess in Japan, because as it turns out, it is not very popular.
Chess is not popular in Japan.
Can you believe it?
Interesting.
I was a little surprised when I found this out. So we are going to take a look as to why that is. First of all, the chess community is rather small in Japan and fairly insular. It is a challenge for the community.
Well, insular is, that's guaranteed.
Yeah, okay, all right. It is a challenge for the community to grow and expand. Most members are either shogi players, members of a chess club, or learned chess when they were abroad, and this includes foreigners.
Even with the internet?
Well, it might be slightly changing, but it's not a whole lot. It's still an issue as of 2019. And that was the latest I found that is still,
why this episode?
Well, I can tell you a couple different things.
Also, like, he's like, yeah, wow, you're the champion on me. She's like, there's only like two other people.
Well, it's not that
small. Beat like two people.
That's not that small, but it's not like the U.S. It's not like Queen's Gambit. exactly. Basically, I'll tell you a little bit why. This is very similar to an act within the manga, because in the manga there's an act where Ami and Berthier play chess together.
They don't play shogi.
They don't play shogi. No.
Shogi.
Yeah, they don't.
Shogi. Shogi. Hey, boo boo.
You got it.
All right.
No. They play chess, and so. That's, I think, why they decided to do that for the anime as well.
Right.
So, yeah. So language is another challenge to learning chess in Japan, as there are a lot of there are not a lot of books in Japanese on the subject for players above an intermediate level. But there aren't a lot of books in Japanese above an intermediate level. So even if you wanted to continue learning about chess, you'd have to have a pretty good grasp on English in order to do so. I have a quote here. Quote, for Japanese people, it's hard to get into chess. It's easier at the beginning, but it gets harder at a certain level if you don't know a lot of English. And that's from Yumiko Herbert, who is the president and founder of the National Chess Society of Japan, which was founded in 2019.
But membership, 13 people.
Well, it's not that low.
Sorry to be the continual fly in the ointment, but I thought a lot of Japanese people knew English, like learned English. English is almost a second language there.
I think that's a misnomer. I think we talked about that when we talked about it
I was sick that
in,
day.
The English language class. They are taught English in school from a very young age, but they don't feel very confident speaking it or like necessarily writing it. And like I think also chess books use a lot of terms that if you aren't super familiar with chess, you don't know what it means, and it's hard to like understand.
They're in French usually.
Well, that doesn't help either.
Yeah, but they love croissants.
Yeah.
And French bakery items.
Yeah.
And pain.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Their word for bread is pain.
Yeah, they have a lot of French in their language and everything.
I'm not
going to
win this one.
So, but
I just don't like chess. Well, okay. Yes. All right. So you've given us the cultural reasons, but I think there's got to be something deeper because.
Well, I'm not done.
They sure love baseball. Do you know what I mean? Like they are willing to cross cultural divides in order to get to something that they like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying that they're not.
That's my opening move. Uh-huh. My opening gambit.
Okay. All right.
What's your counter gambit?
Well, I have a couple of other things that I'm going to share with
you. That sounds like the counter gambit.
Okay. So another aspect that has not helped spread the popularity of chess in Japan is the Japanese Chess Association. The Japanese Chess Association...
Chess Tower.
Yeah, right.
Azubu, Japan.
Yeah. Or Nihon Chessu Kyokai, or shortened to, abbreviated to the JCA, was the governing chess organization in Japan, and it was affiliated to the FIDE. And the FIDE is the international chess organization.
I've heard a lot of wuzzes.
Yeah, we'll get there. However, having never been registered as a nonprofit organization or any other kind of judicial entity in Japan, it is considered a personal business of its representative. So guess how well that goes.
I don't really understand anything that you said. So it's like it's not recognized internationally as the chess authority or whatever. It's like a private business.
Well, it is recognized as the chess authority, but because it wasn't it was not registered as a nonprofit, which most FIDE organizations are, it is recognized as a small business. So they've done a lot of things that are questionable with their money, and they're not really being transparent about their money, among a lot of other things.
Yeah, I saw the chairman driving that huge chess piece shaped car around town.
All right.
What do they do?
Well, I mean, it's nothing like major, but like they sell a lot of chess stuff to their members.
It's like t-shirts and stuff. Chess is like one S. It's like misspelled.
And supposedly it's like at a deep discount because you're a member. But if you look at it, you know, comparatively, it's actually really well, hugely marked up.
They sound like box sets of Queen's Gambit.
Right.
This is important.
Right. Right. Stuff like that. So, and they've only had a couple of presidents since the passing of former president Yasuji Matsumoto in January 2003. The post of president has been vacant. Besides, JCA has no vice president, board of directors, or auditors. Miyoko Watai is the self-appointed, quote, acting president, although in principle that title cannot be used officially anymore since the previous president's terms of office have so long ago expired. And it should be mentioned, Miyoko Watai is a four-time Japanese women's champion in chess. In 1973, she met world chess champion Bobby Fischer and visited him.
She found him.
She found him.
They were searching for him.
Yeah,
she found him.
She found him. and she visited him several times over the next 3 decades. And starting in 2000, they reportedly lived together in a de facto marriage at her home. He lived in Japan for many years. Well, I should say for a couple of years. And then he, in 2000, Bobby Fischer has a...
He's a weird guy.
Weird guy.
Yeah.
He was put into detention in 2004 for trying to travel with a revoked U.S. passport. And she campaigned for his release. And so Japan, after that happened, Japan was like, we don't want you here anymore. supposedly, Miyoko and him were reportedly married in 2004. Although after his death in 2008, she was not able to present an original copy of their marriage license. But an Icelandic court ruled in 2011, after I don't even know how many court battles, that she was Fischer's widow and therefore entitled to inherit his estate. So anyways, she was the de facto leader.
What was in Iceland? He had citizenship or something?
He got citizenship
all
in Iceland.
All these rocks will be yours.
After Japan wanted him gone because his big, huge chess tournament, that was like the match, what did they call it? It was a big match that he won the championship. And
the game of the century.
Yes. That he the USSR had held the championship for like 24 straight years, and like Bobby Fischer like won it for the U.S. and
he was 13 years old, I think, too.
I can't remember how old he was, but anyways, so he put it was in.
So Ami's like behind.
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
It was this match was in Reykjavik,
yeah.
And they felt like that he helped put Iceland.
East Reykjavik.
Yeah, well, they felt like he helped put Iceland on the map, so they're like, "We'll take you."
Did the Vikings put Iceland on the map? But I guess I get what you mean.
Yeah, like people were like, "Oh, Iceland. Okay, that's kind of a cool place." So, anyways, the JCA has reportedly been criticized because of its not only its financial lack of financial transparency, but its behavior contradicting the regulations of its parent federation, the FIDE. The JCA was established in 1967 as the Japan Tournament Chess Association. It has participated in the Banal Chess Olympiad since its accession to FIDE, but they did not do very well in the Olympiad. They have not placed very high. The lowest they placed was in 2012. They were 123rd.
Out of how many?
I'm not sure.
Out of
how
100.
Many. Yeah.
So this is like you go into the office and it's like, "Hey, you want chess? I got chess. What kind of chess you want?" This is like complete. There's like a chicken that goes by. This is not well organized. You go to their website, it redirects to a 404.
Yeah. It's not well organized. They're not really promoting the growth or the expansion of chess in Japan. They're not really fostering the members that they have. There's not a lot of support. Something else to mention is despite being a member of the FIDE organization for over 50 years, the JCA is still eligible for support from their development commission being rated level 3, along with primarily developing countries. So I guess it's like it's a developing country for chess, I guess, is like there's not a lot of interest for it. They're trying to like put more time and organization into growing the into fostering the wanting to learn how to play chess.
Every so often on this show, I find the perfect premise for probably the highest grossing movie of all time, Independent Movie League, and a guy trying to push chess on Japanese people and make it happen, and then he gets a student, right? She goes, ding dong. He's like, "Oh, now who is it? You know, oh, it's a beautiful girl," right? And she's newspaper, forgot her umbrella. She's always forgetting things,
uh-huh.
Right? Because she's all wet. He's like, "Oh, come in, let me make you some tea." Chicken goes by again, right? Like, right?
Yeah,
this is the thing, you could do this.
Yeah.
And he just wants to teach chess to these kids. The kids don't care. That's my idea. That or, you know what they need? They need an anime that's about chess.
That's about chess.
Now.
Yeah.
That's backwards because it has to be popular and then there's an anime about it, like, you know, wrestling or baseball or something like that.
Right, right, right.
But what if we just took, you know, well, the surviving members of the Bee Gees,
mm-hmm.
We say, can we do chess but as an anime?
The musical chess but right. As an anime.
Yeah.
Okay.
One night in Kyoto.
Sure.
And the world's your oyster.
Sure.
Is that where the oysters come from? Do you eat a lot of oysters in Kyoto?
I don't know the answer to that. Let's say yes.
One night on Honshu and the world's your oyster. Get people into it that way, and then they're like, "Oh, what's up with this chess?" So I take it like the Queen's Gambit didn't do well on Japanese Netflix then? They're like...
I don't know... It's interesting.
Who is the white American woman whose eyes have never met?
I don't know. I found one article that actually was funny to me. It was and we'll get to shogi in a minute, but it was talking about how shogi players were hoping that the popularity of Queen's Gambit would get people into shogi.
Guys, you're going to have to make your own Shogi's Gambit.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know what to say to you there.
She was raised in an orphanage. And she took a lot of drugs.
Oh, my goodness.
But not like psychiatric drugs, because they didn't really have those. This is 1960 in Japan.
Yeah.
What would she have to take?
Well, it's not that they didn't. They had psychiatric drugs. They put people on, like, a lot of them.
You know, like, just, right. No, but that's, we talked about this the other week, that it took them a long time to get the, you know, there wasn't, like, Prozac. Sure, they had, like, lithium. They'd, like, knock somebody out in a facility or something like that. But you couldn't just get, all right, we're just going to put you on this, and you're not going to see the ceiling chest anymore. That sort of thing.
Right. What? Right.
So I don't know where I am right now.
Are you seeing chess pieces on the ceiling right now too?
I'm seeing microphones. Yes, this is it. Yes. Turn on the robe. Let's make this happen. Is there any other hobby that is like this? That is like basically a scam or has been taken over by con men?
Yeah.
I said it.
Yeah.
Come for me,
JCA.
JCA.
Yeah.
Because, like, this, it's so clear. Like, you didn't talk to some secret contact to get that information.
No.
You just read it on the internet.
Yes.
So it's just so clear that it's just, they have a stranglehold on this.
Yes.
And who knows who might be into it if it was, like, freely available to them and not... presided over by these con men, these swindlers.
Well, I do have some good news on that front.
Whoa, I made it happen, everybody.
Yes, you did. In January 2019, the National Chess Society of Japan, or NCS, replaced JCA as the governing chess organization in Japan because JCA is like, we're done. So anyways, but
the chicken died.
Yeah, right. But
pack it up, guys.
But NCS is much more welcoming. They're really trying, at least they seem like they're really trying to foster a better community and reach out to people. One of their main goals is to promote and foster organized chess activities throughout Japan. They have a website in English, and they receive a lot of inquiries from around the world. JCA didn't have one in English. They want to have more FIDE-rated tournaments in Japan. Currently, if you want to participate in an FIDE-rated tournaments and want more experience competing at a higher level, you have to travel outside of Japan a lot because they have so few FIDE-rated tournaments annually.
Yeah. Go to Moscow.
Sure. Right. But you have to be able to afford to do that. So
that's why you get somebody to sponsor you.
Oh, there you go. What, right. I know.
It's Queen's Gambit.
Beth Harmon. I know.
It's not the only piece of chess media in the world.
I know, but it's like the only one I know.
Probably the most successful.
Yeah, right. NCS is hoping to put together a large open international tournament sometime soon, but unfortunately the prize fund does not have a lot of money, so it is unlikely that they will attract a lot of international players.
Here's an idea. Anime pillows. Limitless anime pillows.
Okay. Body pillows?
To the winner.
Yeah.
We will drown you in pillows.
All right. I can see it. as of fall 2019, NCS had around 400 members on their list, but some only play online or with themselves, so they do not necessarily become members. So it is difficult to say exactly how many people play chess in Japan.
Tell them it's like, you know, Pokemon, but they're real. They're real little things that you move around.
Sure.
Right?
You gotta collect them all.
I mean, they're into like competitive hobby games and stuff. I just think it's so strange. And maybe it's because I grew up playing chess and I've taught chess and it's just been a part of my life for a long time as an American nerd. But I just can't imagine. It's like, you know, if you never told us this and you just watch this episode, you go, oh, yeah, this makes total sense. Like, Ami's the nerd.
She's
you know, a chess champion. Great. Next episode.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a lie. It's all a lie.
Well, maybe she is the junior chess champion. She just, like you said, doesn't have that many other competitors.
That's why she seems so sad. And then there's some crazy guy who's like, Dr. Wily builds chess tower in the middle of Tokyo. That's safe.
I think he's a harmless old man.
These children going missing around chess tower.
Wow.
A lot of coincidences.
Chess tower.
It doesn't add up.
The tower that looks like a cake, according to Mako-chan.
Mako-chan.
Maybe she's just hungry.
Yeah, I was going to say, she needs a cake.
Yeah.
Usagi, you look like a parfait.
Oh my goodness.
It's just like, wow.
I mean, you look like a burger. So you compare the 400 members to NCS to the number of people who played shogi or Japanese chess in 2019, which was about 6.2 million.
Whoa!
According to a Japan Productivity Center report on leisure activities in Japan.
How many people played Warhammer?
Yeah, right.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So shogi, which besides Japanese chess is also known as a game of generals, is a two-player...
Yeah. We can call chess the ultimate night battle. If that'll sweeten the deal for you.
It's a two-player strategy board game that is the Japanese variant of chess. It is the most popular chess variant in Japan. Shogi means generals, sho, and board game. The world's first chess variant, Chaturanga, arose in India in approximately the 7th century AD. From there, it migrated both westward and northward, mutating along the way. The western branch became Shatranj in Arabia and Orthodox chess in Europe. The northern branch became Xiangqi in China and Jiangyi in Korea. Sometime in the 10th to 12th centuries, chess came across to Japan, where it spawned a number of variants. One of those was called small shogi. Eventually, small shogi won out.
Grew up and became big shogi.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And nobody picked on him anymore.
Right, right. Now it's just shogi.
Yeah.
Well,
just shogi.
Yeah, right. It is certain that shogi is in its present form was played in Japan as early as the 16th century. So supposedly this game, Chaturanga in India, is supposedly the grandfather of all chess type games. I did not know that. I thought that was very fascinating.
Yeah, but what about Mancala? that is fascinating. But so it came to Japan in the 9th or 10th century,
mm-hmm.
but wasn't shogi as we know it until the 15th century?
16th.
16th century.
Yeah, that is correct, because there's a part of it that, so the earliest, it is the earliest chess variant that allowed captured pieces to be returned to the board by the capturing player.
Oh, it's like dodgeball.
Yeah, right. So the drop rule is speculated to have been invented sometime in the 15th century and possibly connected to the practice of 15th century mercenaries switching loyalties when captured instead of being killed.
I was going to say they had almost 100 years of war, so... Yeah. There's a lot of generals running around. They're like, shogi.
Yeah, exactly. So unlike chess, all pieces potentially remain in play until the end of the game when one of the kings gets captured with a checkmate. So,
And this is the pieces are like kind of arrow-shaped or five-sided. Yes.
So it's played on a wooden board that has it's like a checkered wooden board, and there are wooden pieces that are flat and they're squares with like an arrow in the front.
Yeah.
And the arrow wherever the arrow is directed, that's the direction that the piece is moving. And I watched a short video on it. There's many different pieces, and they can move in different ways, and then like. When you enter like this certain area on your opponent's side of the board, you can then flip the piece over and it becomes, now I can't remember what it is. There's a term
super
for
super shogi.
Right. So like there are the characters are written in a black ink normally when the game starts, and then when they're flipped, they're red. so you can tell that they're red. And then that actually makes the piece more powerful and gives them more of a range on where they can move. So, yeah. So many shogi players view the game as more dynamic and complex in comparison to chess. Shogi also does not lend itself to draws as much as chess does. According to professional shogi player Yoshiharu Habu, who is probably the most famous professional shogi player and is a chess FIDE master, and in Japan, shogi is viewed as not merely a game as entertainment or a mind sport, but is instead an art that is a part of traditional Japanese culture, along with haiku, tanka, no, ikebana, and the Japanese tea ceremony. It has an elevated status that was established by the Iemoto system. And Iemoto literally means family foundation. It's a Japanese term that is used to refer to the founder of or current grandmaster of a certain school of traditional Japanese art.
Yu-Gi-Oh is life, Ma. It's art, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen.
And this system was supported by the shogunate. So, yeah.
Not the shogunate.
Yeah, no.
Hey, shogi.
Yeah, no. And shogi is actually featured in a lot of anime and manga. Naruto features the game heavily and is apparently at least partially responsible for inspiring new players outside of Japan to give the game a try.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Need that chess anime.
You need that chess anime.
Have somebody, the Food Wars, after a long day of mopping up people's juices.
I think you need.
He sits down. Wow. To...
See, that's their whole thing already.
Or My Hero Academia, the next season. You know, there's a chess flavored. I'm the bishop.
Yeah, right.
Grade 12, and I don't know. He can only move diagonally. I don't know.
That'd be fun. Itadakimasu with Usagi. What did Usagi eat in this episode? There is no food in this episode, so nothing. Makoto thinks that the chess tower looks like a cake.
There's cake.
There we go.
There's imaginary cake.
There's imaginary cake.
That's good enough for me.
Done. Okay.
For my imaginary birthday. Yeah. Oh, look at the guy's like, oh, what happened, Ami? You used to want to kill yourself.
You're not sad anymore. Yeah. What happened?
You used to play chess because of your lonely, lonely life.
I know. Like, I know
which,
where he's...
by the way,
yeah,
you were trying to fight me before, and I mentioned that every time they go to the Mizuno house, it's just like, oh, you know, just sort of hanging around. Thought I'd make a can of soup. Eat it. Right? Like, there's a weird air.
Yeah, I guess.
And then this friend of the family's like, this chick's still alive.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, how you doing? Thank God you got friends. I mean, great, you've got friends. Like, when they show up at the tournament, he's like, I don't think you guys are real.
Oh,
okay. Oh wow. She wasn't kidding. She's got friends.
Stop. Poor me. I think it's sweet that she has friends now, but
not
yeah.
Not in the chess club.
Yeah, well, yeah, apparently not.
That makes it so much more poignant because it's a game that she clearly learned alone.
Mm-hmm.
And played with, you know, her grandfather's friend, which is like, say no more, say no more.
I wonder if she played with her grandfather. I was wondering that, actually.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah. But she clearly learned this, like, by herself and spent a lot of time.
Well, she seems like
Beth Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
Only Ami's not getting blasted on Sapporo every night, although I'd like to see that scene.
Oh, my God.
Ami's just stumbling around the apartment.
How is she going to study if she is super
blasting
drunk?
Linda?
Yeah, right. I think it's that Ami is definitely somebody who has grown up around adults, like a lot of adults, and has not had a lot of other kids that she's been friends with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like this man, she probably would consider her friend. But he's, you know, her grandpa's age, so, you know.
And we're going to put scalpels in this woman's hand.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
She's not unstable, okay? She just was lonely.
Not anymore.
Yeah, okay. All right, she's got friends now. Phil and Gage, we rate a baddie 1 to 5 dark stars, 5 being the most wicked. No droid in this episode, but I thought we would talk and about and rate Bertier.
This is a tough one. This is tough.
Mm.
Because we're looking down the barrel of no fives.
Mm.
Because I'd love to go high on Bertier, but I'm not sure if she tops Cohen. And as far as the other two go, I feel like we've spent less time with the other two than we have.
We definitely
with the
have.
First two. Yeah. So if I don't give either of them a 5, how could I give Calaveras or Pets a 5? Unless I was just totally playing favorites with Calaveras. But I don't know what to do. All I'm doing is just describing the vista that we are now rounding the rise to see.
I know.
Which is, I'm going to go 4.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, another late entry in psychologically, I like the fact that she's cold and callous.
Yeah.
But it's, she hides these reserves of feelings and she's, she's a frustrated idealist, and she at some point, learned that her crappy ass sisters were never going to back her up. And so her defense mechanism was just to sort of shut down and be weird. Good powers, good outfit. Yeah, all great. Not moving into the fives, but definitely 4 dark stars.
Yeah, I really like Bertier a lot. I think she might be my favorite Ayakashi sister. I love how she says such wicked, vile, mean things with such a sweet delivery. and her entire demeanor, she's like a candy-coated lemon, so sweet-looking and full of venom.
Like
kind of
fruitcake?
Yeah, I don't know. She's full of venom. I do think that you see one reason why I like her is because I don't think that you necessarily see a whole lot of characters like this.
Yeah.
You're going to disagree with me. Just that have this sweet way of delivering awful, horrible things.
I think they're usually creepy children.
Okay.
Or something like that,
Okay.
They're
fair.
I'm going to rip your throat out.
Sure.
There are characters like that, but it's she has more depth than that, though, because also she, sometimes walks around in a dress and has a parasol, and she seems like this refined sort of character, but then she's like, I'm gonna eat your toenails. Mm. There's this kind of weird dark side to her.
She, yeah, absolutely. I also, I love her hair, her light blue hair, her long braid, and the weird little braid that goes around
still
her
don't
forehead.
The sweat I like braid. It. She's got a sweat braid.
Yeah, I like it though. I think it's cute. And I think while the cutout leotard is very unique looking, it's probably my least favorite outfit of the Ayakashi sisters. That being said, I really love the gloves and the boots a lot. I love how the boots go away from her legs at the top. They're really, really super cute. And I like her regular clothes like you were talking about, the dresses and flowy dresses and the parasols, and her powers are pretty cool. Not only the ice powers, but apparently hypnosis or mind confusion alteration, which is random but cool. But I think I have to also, I don't know, I feel like I have to also give her a 4. Even though she's my favorite. And
these are
really
the saddest 4s we've ever given.
Because I want to give
four.
Them a 5. You
four.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why. But I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh. Maybe I'll change my mind later. Because I really like the Ayakashi sisters a lot. But I'm going to have to go 4. For Subbu or Dubbu, where we talk about the most interesting differences between the sub and the dub. In the Deke dub, the scene where Sailor Jupiter attack hits Bertier's hand, cuts her, and we see blood is cut. In the dub, when Koan gets hit by a block of ice, that is also cut.
Yeah, that's a little... It's
a
intense.
Lot. It's very intense.
Yeah.
So, I do have some trivia for this episode.
Sure. Me too.
Oh, okay. Great. When Tuxedo Mask shows up, his theme music does not play, which is really rare. I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to how often that happens, but...
Yeah, I'm just short on time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Just a quick in, quick out, no music.
Did it play when he just kind of jumps down and goes, I'm going to take this little girl. You guys keep trying to kill each other. Sad about it. In the last episode?
That is a really good question that I don't remember.
Yeah. Huh. There are these quick hits. He's not, you know, sticking around. He's not swinging the cane. He's not really talking to Usagi at all. He's just
not
like,
this big, wide sweep up to his position wherever he is, standing above everything.
Everybody was waiting for that because they all go, ah, and they look off camera, and they're kind of looking up. And you're like, okay, where is he coming from now? This right. is only a one-story tall room. So right. he's going to bust through the ceiling. Right. Oh, yeah! Sarabara! But no, he just is like, I'm here.
And then yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah. You have been helped.
You're welcome.
Yes. And then, of course, this is the first episode where we get the new intro, which you mentioned. Viz Media's translation of this episode, in the title, they spell Berthier's name as B-E-R-T-H-E-I-R, reversing the I and the second E. She is named after the mineral Berthierite, so I am thinking that the spelling on the Viz title is a error.
Sloppy Viz.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a sloppy Viz.
Yeah, it can be the Viz can be sloppy too.
That was my fact.
Oh, that was your fact?
Yeah. Well, okay. I noticed that when I was looking at the wiki page. I'm like, that's not spelled right. But that's the official title. That's what's in the books.
That's crazy.
You'd have to go to everybody's house and scratch it out on their DVD set.
Right.
And say, that's right. the title now.
Right. Until they re-release the if they change it.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
With another new dub.
Yeah. this episode has the first and only utilization of Berthier's attack, Dark Water, full power.
Yeah. I was just playing around before.
Yeah, right.
High pressure.
I know.
Maybe that.
The first chess match between Ami and Berthier utilized a position taken directly from the 1972 World Chess Championship, which is the game I was mentioning before between Fischer and Spassky. And Spassky was playing white, but he resigned after Fischer's move to Bxa4. I know nothing about chess. But anyways, in this episode, Berthier played the same move, but Ami continued to play and was able to win. So she didn't resign.
Plus a tuxedo-wearing dandy interrupted the game.
Well, this was the first game, so yeah. But yeah. Okay, now we are up to our rating. So I like that we get to see something else that Ami excels at besides school. I think we have been focusing a little too much on about her schoolwork and her ragging on everybody else to study. But so I was happy to see that. I also like that we learned a little bit more about Ami. I mean, it's sad that she was pretty lonely, but she's so sweet about how much she values her friends. And of course, we see how much she's willing to fight for them and their friendship. I also like that Koan is able to persuade Berthier that being human is actually pretty great and that humans have a great capacity to love.
She immediately got on Tinder.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, Koan was the one who was lovelorn for Rubius, but yeah. So I think this is a pretty strong episode. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 roses.
Nice.
Yeah.
3.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Not feeling it, huh?
There are a couple things in it that are good, as we said. I definitely like Berthier and like Koan. I hope she sticks around. But X character is suddenly into Y is a pretty standard anime structure.
Well, that's true.
And this will never, ever come back. Guess what? This evil alien is also a chess genius.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a little too convenient. It's a little too story of the week for me. I don't know, you know, they spent a lot of time in ice cream shops and doing all kinds of stuff. And now we're down to like, we've got four episodes, presumably, where, you know, our four bad guys are mm-hmm. going to be defeated or converted or whatever. And so you mm-hmm. think like, let's aim it all. Let's concentrate the good stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I think I gave last week's a three. No,
you
four.
Gave it a four.
Okay, so that was a four.
Yes.
That was the converging of a lot of good ideas and points. Mm-hmm. This is okay.
Okay.
We'll never see old Chess Man again. We'll never see Chess Tower
again. No, they didn't even give him a name.
We'll never see any of this. They built this stage just to be torn down, and that is a little disappointing, which is why I'll give it a completely acceptable average three.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. My English title is Berthier's Move. Thawing Heart.
Thawing Heart. I thought I thaw your heart thawing. Yeah, that's all right. No, it's good. My Deke title is Friend Game.
What?
Goodbye.
Oh.
Goodbye.
I'll see myself out. Your
door closed.
Next episode, we are talking about episode number 72. Hijo no Rubiesu, Kanashimi no Yon Shimai in Japanese, Rubius the Heartless, The Tragic Sisters, the English translation, and the English title, Sibling Rivalry.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Things are going to get complicated.
Yeah.
Speaking of complicated, there's something I forgot to mention when I was talking about the new opening sequence for the show. We see Chibi a couple times.
We do.
And we see a naked Usagi who is then wearing a princess dress. That's mm-hmm. sort of a variation of the princess dress that we've seen before
mm-hmm.
With a diadem, mm-hmm. which is a crown.
Very
nice. And then we see what looks like Mamoru or Tuxedo Mask,
mm-hmm.
but he's Tuxedo Mauve. He's got a new look. Write it down. Write it down. Right here, right now.
Yeah.
So, So it's, you know, that's just more hints, more things to drop.
Yeah, you're right.
I am Tuxedo the Mauve now. So we'll see what unfolds in future episodes.
Yeah. We'll see what.
As once we reach. The friend game. I'm back, everybody. I'm back.
Please, the door opened. Well, that's our show for this week, and the name of the moon will be punishing you next week with another episode of Sailor Noob.
Woo-ha! Yeah.